Ramble.
Welcome to the Tripod. We are the Try Guys, Keith, Ned, Zach, and Eugene. We try stuff for the internet, but today we're just friends chatting about stuff. What are we doing today, guys?
We're talking about weddings. Two of the Try Guys went to weddings this weekend, and one of the Try Guys is going to have a wedding someday. Two of them already have, so you know that. Ned and Keith, you're old pals.
I regret starting us on that voice. I'd like to apologize to all of our viewers.
Well, you can't stop a moving freight train, Mr. Zach. That's for darn sure.
Not unless you have a bigger freight train headed in the opposite direction.
That freight train might be our second segment, which is to plan Little Corn Diddy's dream wedding. That's
dream
Mr.
wedding.
Zach to my right on YouTube and to your left watching. it's still going to be on the right. I thought it was a mirror effect there. Anyways, this is not my normal voice, but we'll see how long it lasts.
But first, Miles, tell us a secret.
What's up, Miles Nation?
We have no camera on Miles today. I'm so sorry, YouTube fam.
You guys rated us 5 stars in the iTunes store and gave us a sweet little secret, and we're going to read them on the air to titillate you and try to bring you over to that store.
Ooh, titillate me, Miles.
Hold on, because there's no camera on you, I'm going to try to lip sync with you as you speak.
Yeah,
just to give the audience something to watch.
Good. Ooh, I like that. That is very cute. This secret is called Almost Drowned a Chicken.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Why are you smiling, Eugene?
It's hilarious. Have never almost drowned a chicken? Anyway, keep going.
I guess the almost implies a twist that will be happy.
Yes, it's not dead.
No, it's not.
Well, then they ate it.
I almost drowned it. Instead, I decapitated it.
A different type of murder. So my secret, and one thing I'm still embarrassed about to this day, I am now 20. This happened when I was 13 in 7th grade. We were on a field trip into a strawberry farm, and they had chicks and ducks and all kinds of farm animals for us to play with. And they had a kiddie pool for the ducks to swim in. Well, I was holding a chick, and I put it in the water, not realizing that it couldn't swim. One of my classmates freaked out and was like, oh my gosh, who in the world put a chick in the water?
That's, who in the world?
That's so mean. I replied with, oh my God, who would do such a thing? And I grabbed the chick and pretended it wasn't me. And then I became a hero for saving the baby chick.
I love that. That's such a kid move when you're like, who did that? I don't know. That's crazy. Kids are such terrible liars that they overcompensate their lies by trying to find the person to blame.
It's the classic who farted.
Yeah.
It was always like, oh, it must have been Ned.
Oh, it smells so bad in here, right?
It smells really bad, guys.
Oh, my God, it's awful.
Ew, wasn't me.
Ew. And this person, they take it one step further. They created a problem and then were the savior. It's as if you said, ew, who farted? Luckily, I have this vacuum to suck out all the poopy air.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe they should go into politics.
I'm imagining it's like Ghostbusters, but you just vacuum the... I wish it worked that way.
Isn't there superheroes? Isn't that what Syndrome wanted to do in The Incredibles, is create
suck all the farts out of the
suck
air.
All
yeah.
The farts? Yeah, create problems with a bunch of farts, and then he would be the hero who saves them from all the farts.
That's a tried and true superhero trope. Happens at the end of Watchmen. You know, a big tragedy can unite the world.
Mm-hmm. This next secret's called Stalking Eugene.
Uh-oh.
My secret. I live in WeHo and saw Eugene driving the Try Guy plastered car in front of me on my way to work.
Okay, a little context here. We did a video in which we gave Eugene's car a dream makeover, but it was not his dream. It was our dream. And so if you ever saw the JoJo Siwa car, it was kind of like if Lisa Frank vomited us.
Yeah, we put all of our faces on his car.
Not only did we do a job of making it a rainbow car, it wasn't even that good of a job.
Which no, it was bad.
Which is why it was better.
Yeah.
It was a lackluster attempt at making an awful car.
I don't think actually our people who watch us on YouTube know this. So we made two videos, and in we were going to do a third video where Eugene drove it around for a month. But it was so sad and such a horrible experience that we actually were like, oh, this is too sad as a video. Maybe we'll make it a quick montage. What happened to you, Eugene, with that car?
Well, I still drove it around for 2 months.
3 months almost.
2.5 months, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I finally got it unwrapped. So, but I had no time to go back to the place that wrapped it. So.
But how did people treat you?
Like an idiot. You treat someone who drives a car like that like how they should be treated. I deserved it by driving that car.
We should say more. There was glitter all over. Yep. Glitter dinosaurs. Our giant faces on the hood. And across the window, it said, "We are best friends." Didn't people throw stuff at you?
Yeah. I don't know why we're rehashing this moment. Let's get back to the secret.
Because it's funny.
Well, the end of the secret is my sister's from New Jersey and is obsessed with me seeing celebs and YouTubers in LA, so I had to snap a picture. But he turned, so I turned too and followed him for a few blocks to get a picture. I felt creepy and was late to work. Sorry, Eugene.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, it's a mile a minute trying to keep up with you on the lip sync cam over here.
How do you feel about that, Eugene? This is more of a secret for you.
Well, you know, I kind of give people... I forgive this person because the car and me driving the car deserved it. I've had people follow me just in general, but in the car, I deserved it that moment because it was asking for people to follow me.
So you're saying
I had a couple people.
It's okay to stalk somebody if they ask for it.
Well, if you're blatantly advertising
by driving
your face.
A giant Primobile.
I mean, it was so obnoxious that I feel like I deserved all the hellfire that I had to pay for it. Mm. But it wasn't necessarily my fault, but you know, I volunteered to do the video, so.
I feared that the story was going to end with her, and then I followed him home, and now I know where he lives.
Well, one time someone did follow me across town. I could tell they were tailing me.
No.
And so I had to pretend like I lived somewhere else. So I had to park like several blocks away and then wait till they, but I literally walked up the steps of an apartment complex I didn't live in. Well, because I just didn't want them to know where I lived.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I walk my dog every morning, and as I was coming back to my apartment one morning, I heard, "Zach!" And a guy from like diagonal halfway across the street ran towards me to take a photo. And the first thing I blurted out was, "Oh, I don't live here." he was a really nice guy.
I don't live this time.
I just wanted to see what these steps were like.
I had a fan interaction outside of my house, and get this.
Oh, man.
This girl had just gotten into a fender bender. Ooh. It was like, it was her first ever accident. She was a young
The
like
first
young
of
woman.
Many to
yeah,
come.
Well, I hope not. But she was like, she was shaken up. She was very scared. Like the car and the people were fine. It was very minor.
You never forget your first crash.
Yeah. But she was just like, I kind of like had been crying, was on the phone with her insurance company and just trying to figure it all out. And then she sees us and she's like, I just got in an accident. I love your videos though. I watch you on Facebook. And I felt really bad for her. And I was also
happy.
Curious that she watched on Facebook rather than you. Mm. You know, that's the part that I took
away.
Sometimes
they watch on Facebook. It's a surprise to me. I had a good fan interaction once similar. Just a girl's car died in the middle of the road. And I just like ran to help push it because that's what you do.
Oh, wow.
When a car is dead in the middle of the road, you go help.
That's right.
You do. It's just the thing you do. And there were even like three guys across the street, and I was like, "Guys, we gotta move this car." I didn't know them, and they came over and we pushed the car. And we're pushing it, and she's like, "Wait a minute, aren't you a Try Guys?" Like, "Not right now.
Right now,
just some guy pushing the car.
Right now, ma'am, I'm just a get it done guy."
Did you call her ma'am? I feel like you have to in a hero situation.
I feel like I surely did.
"No, ma'am, I'm just here to do the right thing.
No, ma'am, I'm just Keith right now."
That's fucking awesome. You're a hero.
I love to be a hero.
I don't think I would have done that.
Oh, you got to run in. I love it when you get to help somebody push a car. It's kind of
Because if that car stays on the road, it's a real hassle and a headache. And you don't like hassles or headaches.
I hate them both.
Well, then you need Excedrin.
You know what that is? It's a Southern thing.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. I'm a damn Yankee. We're godless.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are from the South.
Because I was just in Texas for a wedding.
Yeah,
and I was also with people who had never been to Texas, who are from the coast.
Oh.
And every other interaction they had, they said, "I cannot believe people here are this friendly." Like, people from coast do not realize that we grew up with like required politeness.
Like, where you wave when you drive past someone else and they wave back to you. In your cars, you just wave because you crossed another car.
Mm-hmm. There was a time in New York, post 9/11, where like everyone smiled at each other. That was the closest it got. When you walked in the street, you did like the head nod.
It had to take 9/11 for people to be polite to each other.
Yeah.
You
know, we can't compete with that.
You told I didn't want to drop the 9/11, but
that's like that you just went there, we're trying to talk about like grits and stuff, you're like, "Well, remember when everyone was really, really sad?"
You know, once
reverse it.
Once the apartment above the video rental store that was a meth lab exploded, and all of us were like, hey, remember when that meth lab exploded?
You told me, Keith, that people are such polite drivers. Is it in Tennessee that they it's like against the way traffic should work?
They break four-way stops, yes, because they all want to let each other go.
Everyone's
first.
Very defensive, yeah.
So defensive nobody driving. Goes, and it's awful because they're actually breaking the law by trying to be polite, and it really just ruins intersections.
Where do you think are the worst drivers you've ever encountered?
Austin. Well,
still probably large cities, yeah.
That is so funny, because I've lived in three major cities in my life. I've lived in New York, in LA, and in Boston. They all are bad drivers for their own reason, but for some reason, drivers in Boston are just fucking awful.
Boston is mean sometimes.
Is it because of the tunnels?
No, they're just fucking bad. They just don't give a shit. Yeah.
Oh.
New York is aggressive because you gotta be. There's no other way to get around. But like you yield to pedestrians. LA, everyone's a terrible driver because no one's paying fucking attention. They're all waiting for their big break and they're on their phones. Mm-hmm. But Boston, they got no excuse. They're just dicks.
They just scream fuck you. Like I've had people just scream fuck you out of their car at me. I'm like, you cut me off.
And by the way,
you were going slightly too slow.
I must have been.
I have dear friends from Boston, and I think they would all take this designation with pride, yeah, I should say.
So. Wait, so masshole is a good thing if you're from Boston?
I think so. You know, they go to the cut of their own jib.
It's charming.
Did you see that video? This was months ago of the two guys who stole the pendant that the Red Sox won from the park. They were they claimed that they found it on the highway, but then they were trying to like basically hold it ransom to give like
flag.
It was the flag. Like, now this belongs to Fenway. But also we think they should do the right thing and compensate us.
The pendant. I'm trying to think, what is this medal?
National treasure, but for the Red Sox.
Like, what's the pendant?
Sometimes I just speak and don't listen to myself. And by sometimes, I mean all the time.
Also, how often do you say
pennant?
Yes.
Pennant? Yeah.
I don't even know what a pennant
is. It's like the big flag.
The big triangle flag.
There it is.
But what it means is winning the conference.
Oh. But it totally backfired on these guys. And like Boston was like, yeah, no, we're just going to press charges and like make a new one. Like, fuck off. And they're like, whoa. We just, people are going to know that's not the real one. And they're like, no, we don't give a shit. Just give it back, guys. You clearly stole it out of a truck. It's a great story. You should check that video out.
I should check that video out.
Okay, weddings.
Weddings.
Eugene, yeah. What was your wedding like?
It was nice. It was good. It was with two friends. And it was at a brewery, which was very interesting.
Ooh.
Because there was no hard liquor. It was only beer and wine.
Oh.
But a huge selection of beer.
Mandatory beer, mm-hmm, from the brewery.
Yeah, they had like, you could actually go on tours during the wedding,
which was
quite
cool.
Nice. Yeah. But they had about like 30 beers you could choose from.
When you told me that, when you said there was no liquor, I thought it was a dry wedding.
No. I would never step foot in a dry wedding.
I got invited to one recently, threw that in the garbage. Didn't even RSVP. No. I just said not. No.
Why
it's bother? Rude to ask me to RSVP to this.
On the invite, it said dry? Or?
It said no alcohol will be served or allowed.
What?
You couldn't even bring a hip flask and have your own party.
I mean,
well, it's kind of nice that they at least gave you warning.
Yeah.
You don't want to show up. Like blind to that sort of thing. Like, so where's the party?
Wait, was there like a religious denomination, or was someone a clinical alcoholic in the family?
I don't know. It's somebody who's like a far removed cousin of me, and I don't even know why they invited me.
We don't know each other. I'm just famous, so they want somebody famous at their wedding, but I can't go to your wedding as a famous person unless I can get drunk and make some mistakes. Because if you invite a celebrity, don't you want like a big controversy?
Want? Don't you want me to get arrested? And then I have a mugshot, and then everyone's like, oh, Keith got arrested for...
And that was my wedding.
Is that the type of famous person you want to be, Keith?
It's inevitable.
You think getting... Whoa.
Ma'am.
Whoa.
Ma'am.
Whoa.
It's not a choice. It's my duty.
It's destiny.
I don't know. One of us will get arrested at some point, right?
Who do you think is the most likely to get arrested?
Yeah, statistically. Like, one of us is going to take a stand, and we're going to help, like, be a part of a big protest.
That's different.
They're going to ask us to leave, and they're going to arrest us.
Mm.
And
you know,
we're going to be drunk.
I'll do.
Okay, now we're back.
Yeah. In most protests, you gotta get hammered before.
I'll take the fall. I'll do it. I'll get arrested.
All right, Zach.
I was in London when the Brexit protests were happening, and I came at the aftermath of one of the protests, and all the protesters were just at the pub, just getting hammered. And all of their flags and placards and like all of the like posters that they were chanting were just kind of like by their tables, just like just dragging by. And it was like, I thought there's a real culture here.
Oh, you know what? The same as when I was at all the protests here for against Prop 8 for the anti-gay marriage legislation. Mm-hmm. And with the gay community, similar to what you had at Breakfast, mm-hmm. we literally were marching from the bars. Because the bars is such a huge part of identity.
So you pre-gamed the protest.
We pre-gamed and post-gamed, and we gamed as we walked down the street.
That sounds like a big game.
I told you, it would be in a protest when we get arrested. And we'll be drunk.
Well, yeah, I think dry bar is, unless it is something that's like very religious or something that is, sure. you know, very problematic for your family, it's a huge no-no for most weddings. And the one cardinal sin, I think, that this particular wedding broke that I went to was they did not have a DJ.
I'm sorry,
they
what?
Only had a they live, had
a live band.
Band that didn't even play covers of like recent popular songs. It was just like old jazz standards. Okay. So it wasn't so it wasn't danceable. I would say every fifth song was something you could dance to slightly up tempo, but every one through four slow songs.
So Eugene, I'll take a big issue with that. I think the real problem with what you said was they only played slow jazz songs. However, I am a firm believer in the fact that a live band is almost always much more fun than a DJ. DJ's great. DJ's great, but a live band that like can play like pop songs that has like multiple members that like is kind of that call and response kind of energy. It can just be so much more dynamic and engaging than I think like a DJ ever can be.
Okay, I gotta drop the gauntlet. Are you want to respond to that?
No, but no, go ahead. I want to hear what you want to say.
They're usually more expensive.
Mm. Yeah, it classes up the joint a bit, but I don't think it makes it more fun.
Ooh, oh.
I've never been to a band wedding.
Oh, you got you would love it, Keith.
Oh, I would.
You especially would love it.
I would get so drunk, I'd get arrested.
So I gotta drop like the wedding gauntlet because this weekend I went to a Lebanese wedding, and holy shit. It was the greatest party I have ever been to. Multiple people came up to me and they were like, hey, is this your first, literally verbatim, this exact phrase, is this your first Lebanese wedding? It's lit, right? So they come out, first of all, the most opulent wedding. There had to have been fucking 300 people there. Not only did they have like a full coordinated camera crew, they had a jib, like a full
a jib
arm over the party,
like was, Sports Center.
Yeah, it was like fucking the Super Bowl of weddings.
Whoa.
And the whole room had different color LED lights that were coordinated. It really fucked with my eyes. It was crazy. But the wedding march, like they come out, you know, when they present the bride and groom, there are these five men in what I assume to be traditional Lebanese garb, and they all have these drums, and the DJ's not playing like Beyonce or anything. They're playing just like Lebanese beat, just like dun da da dun dun da ba da ba da. It's like in Jumanji when you hear the beckoning of the board game.
Oh.
And then everyone gets on the dance floor. You're just banging drums. The bride's banging a drum. They do kind of like at Jewish weddings when you put people up on the chair, but just like times 10. Like they skip the chair. One guy's just like has him up on his shoulders. They're running around. And then for the rest of the wedding, it alternated between like dope DJ jams and then just beats, just like drums. And then the DJ would come out during like Usher with a drum and just start smacking it. And
did
let
you get
people
to bang the drum?
Hell yeah, I
really?
Got to bang that drum.
It's open season on drums?
I think it wasn't. I think it was I think it was supposed to be for the bride and groom and the family, but I had to get a little bang in. Oh, and they kept fucking feeding us. It was nonstop. It was the most food I've ever been served, and it was like kebabs and giant fillets of fish and then just a whole plate of dips, and like we had five different types of hummus. I couldn't believe what happened.
I think I've come to find that most non-traditional non-Western religious weddings
so much better
are so much better.
So much better.
They're just so fun.
Yeah.
They because they go in. And it's not like mm-hmm. Uncle Charles is wasted on the dance floor after too much of the communion wine type fun. It's more, whoa, already in the ceremony, people are up and dancing and moving. That's why my goal in life is to go to as many Indian weddings as possible. Because
oh,
South Asian weddings take the cake weddings.
We need more Indian friends. I have a few, but I don't think I'm close enough to them to be invited to their wedding yet. So I'm going to have to work on that.
Yeah. I don't know that we'll get invited to Lily Singh's wedding.
Mm.
Unless it's like a really big wedding.
Well, they are all really big.
Well, also it's okay because they have about 5 weddings within one wedding.
Yeah.
Have you seen the schedule for Indian weddings? They have different ceremonies throughout a course of a few weeks. It's insane. And they just take the cake when it comes to celebrating.
I don't know.
And the cake's good too.
Apparently.
Maggie and I were there this weekend, and like, I should say, I should preempt this and say that marriage is a little a ways away on our agenda. It's not something currently on our minds. But we were looking at this and we were like, how do we trick people to thinking that this is a Peruvian and/or Jewish tradition and we can just steal this, tell all the Jews that this is a Peruvian thing?
Drums are
universal.
It's pretty universal, actually.
Everyone loves a good drum. Mm-hmm.
It was so good.
But Zach, can you provide a little context of who's Maggie?
Oh, Maggie's my girlfriend. So we were talking today and we thought it'd be nice. Again, I'm not getting married anytime soon. So please do not ask. Oh, fuck. I got to say one thing real quick, too, before we jump into this fun story.
What?
As an ask to the audience, I posted a photo on Instagram of me and my girlfriend this weekend. And this is the second time this has happened. Her like hips were cocked out to the side. She was doing a fun little pose. And all the comments are asking if she's pregnant, if she has a baby bump. No, she is not pregnant. We are not trying to get pregnant. And please, for the love of God, do not ask a woman if she is pregnant. She is too kind and polite to ever respond to that, but it breaks my heart as her boyfriend. So please, 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 I promise you I will not be coy about pregnancy. My caption will not be Spy Kids when I am announcing a pregnancy. So please never ask us that again. Thank you very much.
My kids would be a good.
It would.
That happened to us too.
I'm
going to
definitely
Ariel.
Walk you back. Spy Kids is a great caption for I'm having a baby.
Okay, then I'll revise.
Spy Kids 2 if it's twins.
Oh, I guess.
Or 3 if it's triplets. I'll revise. If I ever am having a kid, my next Spy Kids caption will be.
Be on the lookout for the next Spy Kids
caption.
It is true, though. I mean, that happened to Ariel one time. We posed next to. I took a photo of her. It said, hooray. On top, and just people were thinking that she was pregnant, and then she thinks that it's like her dress is fitting poorly, or it's like she's looking fat or something, and that's just it ruined her entire day. And we were at this like beautiful fun. I think it was actually a wedding. We were at a wedding, so
it was very funny.
You don't want to not have fun at a wedding
with Maggie too. She's like, of all the things I'm insecure about, I'm not fat.
She's very tiny.
Yeah, I think that's actually what made it more pronounced. And also, look, I get it. We're very open with our lives. I mean, it came from a place of excitement. It's a very exciting thing to imagine me having a kid. But so I don't think poorly of you if you did that. But in the future, please never again. Let's get back to the
hell back to the comedy podcast.
Now let's fantasize about your perfect wedding. Yeah. What will Maggie wear?
What will Maggie think?
How hot will you look?
And will you have a live band? I think there's only one right answer.
So the idea here is we are going to craft Zach's perfect wedding. Not Maggie's perfect wedding, but mine. And again, I'm very far from getting married, but whatever we say here sticks.
Yeah.
Oh, really? You're gonna do
whatever
exactly
we say here is gonna happen.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we should start. You two are married, and weddings, so start. Yes. Give us the order in terms of decision making.
Well, first you decide how big the water slide is that you slide down right after you kiss the bride, because then it's like, oh, you're taking the plunge.
Well, don't you decide?
And you design the ice sculptures now because you don't want to get into a melting situation.
I love
start chipping away at those decisions.
Love the idea of a water slide.
Everyone.
So is that during the ceremony, or is that our entrance to the party?
That's your
No. That's that. Like, you mean I now kiss the bride, and then I now am the first to announce Mr. and Mrs. Corns Demente, and and then you get in an inner tube with her, and you go down a water slide.
Oh yeah, now let's
down. Okay, well that's locked in.
Great. Let's start with some base questions that we can relate to, right?
Okay.
So, location, right?
Yeah, it's that's venue, size, dates, aka season.
Not even location. Like, what city are you gonna have it in?
Great question. So my family's in New York. Her family is outside of LA. Most of our friends are in LA. So I'm thinking Maui.
Boom.
Yeah, as the crow flies.
Wait, Maui.
Where? What?
Maui. We're doing it.
What do you guys think about
destination wedding? I think
they're amazing.
I think
maybe somewhere in Mexico.
You got to give people enough warning, right? But if you give them, say, 2 years warning,
it's a lot
they
of warning.
Plan a trip anywhere.
It depends. Do you want not many people to come?
Because it makes it smaller.
I get that. You know what's tough? So every wedding I'm at, I get bored at one point and I start to space off and daydream. And I just try and count in my head how many people, because I'm like, oh, a nice small wedding would be so nice. But there's like, at least on my side, at least 60 something people that I'm like, have to be there. And that's not even including my family.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you got your parents' friends too.
Which I am the first person. I'm sure this will be a fight that I will
Zach,
lose.
Don't even,
but I'm
don't,
like, no, your friends are not, they're not important to me. I am sorry.
No.
But like, wedding, Zach, the wedding is not about you. That's the first thing you got to get in your head. The wedding is not about you. It's your day, but it's not about you. It's about everyone else.
It's about everyone
else. It's for everyone else to celebrate the thing.
That is so?
But the thing that you do is even every day for the rest of your life.
But then also,
calm the fuck down. It's not about you.
And also,
it's about everybody.
And also
else.
Slightly above you is Maggie.
Sure.
Oh yeah. Sorry. It is absolutely
about Maggie. About the bride. Yeah.
So, yeah, but
she loves water slides. So we're on the right track.
Gotcha.
So the thing about a wedding is that the reason you have all those people there is because you've invited all these people to support you in your decision, right, and also to help you have a strong life together. That they are going to support this marriage, that they will
That's
be there
friends.
To.
They're your community, they're your support network.
But your parents' friends are also invested in you because they're invested in your parents. So, like, there's this whole thing.
You can say blah, blah.
But do you think the number of the guest list will be over, say, over 200?
Over 200?
I mean,
my wedding was about like 150.
150 is like an average size wedding.
Yours was 150?
About.
Keith?
Fuck,
well.
If you go over that, you probably can't do a major destination wedding.
let's say it's a nice even 400 person wedding.
Oh my god.
I don't think you can do Maui then.
Okay, we'll keep it
local.
The
only way you can do a destination wedding is if then you have smaller parties at your major cities where most family and friends are before the actual wedding, so that you have time with those people who couldn't make it.
Okay, I'm stealing this from another podcast I listened to. Rachel Bloom from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend did two weddings, one for her family and one for her friends, and that to me is brilliant. You get the stressful one out of the way, and then with your friends, it's just party time.
That's true, actually, because really the real cost comes from just like the reception. Mm. And you're paying for all these extra plates or spots for people that maybe are just going to come and eat and leave. So why not have a separate thing for the family and the boring people? I would change it not to be family and friends, but boring people.
Boring wedding and fun
boring
wedding.
Fun people.
Wow. That would go over so well with people.
Yeah,
sure.
That would be great. Yeah. Well, I don't need to know.
But when is Zach's wedding? What date is it? Like, oh, mine's October 16th. Like, oh, mine's November 3rd. Well, who else is going to yours? Like, a bunch of boring people.
Yeah, like Uncle Stan?
Oh, no.
But you got Aunt Barb.
Oh, you went to
Aunt Barb's fun.
Yeah, how do I know if I'm in the boring one?
I think that's a terrible idea, actually, because one of the best things about weddings is watching family drama unfold. Even though it's a huge headache to the bride and groom, it is the stories that last. Everyone says, do you remember what happened at the wedding with Aunt Nance?
Do you guys have any of that at yours that we're allowed to talk about?
I don't think there was actually any drama that unfolded. There was drama that, like, okay, well, you can't seat these people next to each other because they don't get along.
The planning process is filled with drama.
Yeah.
But I don't think at the actual wedding, we had some people crashing.
We had two crashers, and I think I told you this. I have their pictures because they went to the photo booth.
But one thing that actually is entertainment for guests that people forget is the guests experiencing your
people
family's
watching
drama for the first time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would say when I got bored at weddings, the best thing is seeing the drunk uncle who everyone hates get drunk and be crazy. You're like, oh, I get it now. That's why you hate your uncle.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's shift to traditions, because I've often said the greatest part about a Jewish wedding is the stomping of the glass.
Oh yeah.
And to me, not fair that I get to do it alone. So my bride to be is, you better believe we're both stomping glasses. Fuck
okay.
Tradition. We're going for it. And guess what? She's throwing a bouquet. I'm throwing a bouquet too.
Okay.
Wow, okay.
We're
great.
Doing it.
Yeah, lock it in.
Yeah.
No notes.
Did you guys do the garter toss?
No.
Thank fucking God. Okay,
no.
I know this is going to offend
you
some people.
Cut back to our rant on the patriarchy obsessing over women's bodies.
I think it is the weirdest fucking thing in the world. And I know I'm going to offend some people because everyone does it. But the guy always like gets down on his hands and knees and like reaches up with his teeth. It is. It's revolting. In the privacy of your own bedroom, please, sir.
Yeah. No.
But you know, maybe the families like it. I don't know. I don't know how it started.
Well, because maybe it's so ingrained in tradition that even conservative weddings, they just clutch their pearls and they say, "Ooh, that's naughty. He's being naughty."
Well, I think the origin is related to the loss of virginity.
Well, that's most weddings. Why do you think they're wearing white? It's all very gendered.
And typically,
symbolism.
You would get married, they would consummate the wedding, and then you go to the reception.
I mean, you bring the garter back as proof of, like, I did it. That's what I think. I mean, I could be wrong here. But that's why I think it's so fucked.
Well, Zach, if you really want to buck the tradition of all gender norms, you should, like, not have her wear white. Be in a dress, too.
I would be totally down with that.
Dress as baseball players.
Okay, done.
Elton John style.
Yeah.
Whoa, sparkles.
Okay, we're in.
Mm. And instead,
have everyone in the reception smash a glass.
Yes, everyone. Ceiling. Group smash. And you wear a garter.
What if
she takes it off you?
Yeah.
What if we do it musically? It's like, y'all ready for this? Smash, smash.
Is it a certain type of glass that you use for?
You know, I've always wondered that. I don't know.
Is it like it looks like a small shot glass? It's not a very large glass from what I've seen.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I always imagine it as like a champagne.
Champagne. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I think it's a flute.
And I think it does, it relates actually to like remembering the sorrow of your ancestor.
I thought it was about permanence. Like once that glass is broke.
Didn't you say every Jewish tradition relates back to sorrow of the ancestors?
But most Jewish things are sad.
The more fun the Jewish tradition is, the more sadness it has you remember.
And what about the wedding chair?
So let me get my memory straight. Okay, so we got Maui, 400 people. You're paying for their flights.
Yep.
You're going to double glass smash.
Yep. And double bouquet.
Everyone's wearing
baseball outfits.
I was going to say beige because it was a very bland color.
Ooh, instead of stopping the glass, we each get a baseball bat and they throw cups at us.
Yep.
Yeah. And however many cups we smash in succession is how many children we'll have.
But what about the Peruvian traditions?
It's a great question.
You'll have ceviche. So
we'll have a lot of ceviche. What's great is that people don't know what Peruvian traditions are, so I'm going to go ahead and say that we're going to have alpacas there.
Oh yeah, nice.
Instead of a ring bearer, instead of a little boy and a little girl, flower girl, llama. Little alpacas.
Alpacas drenched in sangria, and then you grab their fur you strain out a little bit for yourself.
Yep. And it's set at 5,000 feet.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah. Well, you have to ride alpacas up to the summit.
Top of Mount Maui.
To douse them in sangria.
At the top of Mount Maui.
Have you gotten to go to Peru yet?
No, I've never gone to Peru. I would love to.
My daddy's been to Peru and he brought me back a pen.
I went for my post-college graduation trip to South America.
Oh,
one of the best trips I ever had. Yeah.
Post-college.
Yeah, we picked places where my traditional Asian parents would not want to travel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But Peru's beautiful.
You know what? This is getting off wedding, but I feel like Peruvian food is about to blow the fuck up. It is like the untapped cuisine that should just be so hip. It should be everywhere. It's unreal.
I feel like it's got a pretty good legs. Pretty good rep.
It's coming. But do you think people around America are eating Peruvian?
I think so.
I want like a hip Peruvian brunch spot.
It's such an easy entry food because it's just rotisserie chicken and ceviche. And then there's like lomo saltado and there's stuff that's a little, but that's steak and fries. Like,
there's a thing called causa that's this tower. I've told you about this. It's like mashed potatoes, avocado, pulled chicken, and lemon. It is unbelievable.
It is good. Wow.
There's a whole world out there.
We're going to have that at your wedding.
Yes.
For sure. A whole bunch of people like roaming
Peruvian
around with it.
Dinner.
Past apps.
Yeah. I went to a wedding that had an open sushi bar during the cocktail hour. Mm-hmm. And that to me, definite. We're locking that in.
So the most important question is, are you having a live band or a DJ?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, according to Ned, there's no decision to be made. It's been made.
I think so. I think a live band can do everything a DJ can do, but better.
Okay, how about
this?
They
can't recreate that certain sounds. If you like certain types of music, especially dance music,
But you can get that at like any like club.
What if we alternate?
This is like.
But if you want people to get like lit. If you want them to get lit.
Why you don't think that a live band gets the people going?
Can the live band play Lil Jon?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it won't be the same.
But that's the point. You don't want just a carbon copy of the radio edit Lil Jon to be played on the DJ. Anybody can do that. You can plug your fucking iPad in and play Yeah, Lil Jon. But like the band, it's like they'll move it in and out, and then you get like their different singers can do the different voices. You get some female vocals, get some male vocals.
Here's the compromise. You ready? We're gonna have a live band, but the band is Lil Jon.
Yeah, if you have a live music, yeah, act, that's good.
What if we have multiple artists, and or like we could do a stage and a DJ, and they alternate. You know, or we could do dueling.
Like a battle of the bands.
Yeah, that's yeah. the thing. It's like
two stages.
Like you can have a DJ pretty easily. Like okay. if you want to get like, I don't know, drop the bass at the end of the night or I think this is about like.
You know, you don't wear headphones during this, but I will tell you, anytime you grab the mic, it's a horrible experience. Yeah.
No, I should wear headphones.
Okay, I'm going to tell you one thing that is not going to be at my wedding. I do not care for the instructional dance songs, the cha-cha slides, the down, down, do it, down, do your right. whatever.
Yeah. This what about Old Town Road, though?
Old Town Road ain't an instructional. That's just a banger.
I think by the time your wedding comes around, get your horse instructional dance to it.
Okay, I'm down for an Old Town Road dance, but everyone has to go get their own horse right. and ride the horse on the dance floor, and it's a dressage number.
What if it's like the wife is supposed to like get on the husband's back, and then you like pretend you're a horse, and you trot around, and then you trot in a circle.
Yeah, I mean, you're selling me hard.
I think it'd be pretty good.
I you know, you think you stand for something, and then someone just comes with irrefutable.
So those dances, I don't really like them either, but I have, after my illustrious career of attending many weddings, I have come to understand the benefit, because not everyone is as outgoing and flawless of a dancer as you are, Zach.
Right,
some
right.
people need a little extra encouragement of a group dance to get out on the dance floor.
Eugene just winced when Ned called me a good dancer, but I will tell you that the the father of the bride came up to me when I was dancing and said, "You, sir, you're just perfect." Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a great moment for me. Yeah.
And that's when he let you
bang the drum.
Please, bang my drum.
Would you... Bang my traditional drum.
There might be a compromise. Maybe not the instructional ones, but there is a list of like 5 to 10 popular songs that every wedding plays because they're kind of old guard. Shout.
You
it's
gotta
like
get
the one.
Shout.
I'm fine
Everyone
with that.
Plays
gotta
shout. Because even shout. Older people will go and get a little bit
and
softer now.
Can we say
a little bit
that
softer now?
Yep.
Shout is definitely better with a live band.
Ooh.
Oh, that would be way better.
That would
band.
Work.
That is one.
Whoa,
Ned's leaving. Ned's leaving.
Ned, stop screaming.
Yeah. Also, my one problem with that is you can't really do international music with a live band because they don't know the languages.
A talented one.
It's a pretty.
I will say I intend on having a lot of like Spanish hip hop music. Let's get this going.
It's popular now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It gets the people going.
Yeah.
Are you going to have people do the chair thing?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to have people do the chair thing.
Oh, that's
the
best
part. And the Hava Nagila. Mm-hmm. Let's get a circle going. That's the one, the only tradition I give a shit about and have been excited about since I was a kid. I don't care about anything Jewish. I dropped out of Hebrew school. I'm not a religious man. I barely know my own religion. But you best believe I'm getting in that chair and y'all dancing in a circle around me.
My favorite part of all Jewish weddings. I make a beeline for the chair. I'm like, I need to be a part of this.
Oh, you gonna lift me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to be like one of the dudes.
I was lifted in my wedding, and that was not part of our tradition. It was just the second time we played All-Star, and we were just so riled up that suddenly I was in the air. And not only was I lifted, I was tossed as if I was atop a trampoline.
That's terrifying.
It was a little terrifying, but there were a lot of giant Midwestern men under me, and I felt very safe.
And don't worry, we were all super drunk at that point.
I was the hammer. It was a really fun time. I probably should have been arrested at my own wedding.
I need more out-of-the-box ideas. We got the baseball. We got the
Oh, what's
the
your cake going to be like?
Oh, I'm not
doing
cake.
What's your cape going to be
Ooh,
like?
Oh, so what's
You're
your dessert?
Cake?
Not doing cake. We're taking a page out of Mr. Habersberger's book. We're doing pies, baby. Wedding pies.
Yeah, wedding pies.
Right. Totally the way to go.
Tell me about it.
The pies are just great because pies, you get to have a lot of flavors. Pies, also, everyone loves pie. Like, it's very unlikely that someone's going to say, no, thank you, I wouldn't like a slice of pie. But when you have cake, it's like cake, it's such a crapshoot. Like, I would say that bad pie is way better than bad cake.
Yes.
It just like,
yeah,
and also you have coffee at the end. Like, it just goes better with the end of the meal. Typically, also, wedding meals are like, you know, they start at like 4 or 5 p.m. They're not starting late. So like pie is good because it's like, it's got a lot of sugar. It still gets you going. It's got nuts or it's pumpkin or it's got apples.
We'll do everyone's favorite dessert pies. Shepherd's pie. Pot pie.
Dude, that would be awesome if you had only savory pie for dessert. Pie.
I think people are just, you know, you want the cake, I think, for the tradition if you want to get the shot of the bride and the groom cutting the cake.
Why can't we cut
but
pie?
All, but all the wedding I went to, they had the cake, but then they had individual small cakes for everyone.
Oh,
you could get that or peach cobbler.
That's south right there.
So
that's
You can. I think a lot of people are diversifying their dessert choices.
Because the thing that with like a cake, so I prefer pie over cake in general, but like a wedding cake is this like tower of majesty that is like such a spectacle. You just like slice into it, it's a big slice. And
okay,
it's
well, what about
a big
this?
Like a moment?
What about,
I would do a giant cake and then little tiny pies.
What about a giant pie that's hollowed out in the middle and you can crawl in the middle and take a photo inside the pie?
That's
wow.
And then
pretty
we
fun.
And then we can cut. Yeah, you crawl underneath and then you pop out the middle and then we can cut the pie from inside the pie. And we're the top of. Ooh, okay, new idea. I'm going back to the cake. It's a giant cake. Yep. There's a little ladder on top, and instead of having little people, it's us, because we're little people.
Could you do one of those big hollowed out cakes, but it just has me in it, and I do a sexy dance?
Can you be dressed in a sexy diaper?
And of course.
1,000 doves get released from behind Keith.
My diaper. I open my diaper, and birds fly out of my crotch.
It's also a pregnancy announcement.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That one I will caption Spy Kids.
Spy Kids. That's totally a Spy Kid move to have a bunch of birds in your diaper. Just like the movie Spy Kids. Spy Kids is a crazy franchise.
And everyone gets the personal fireworks.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's just, you get it upon entering the party and you can light it off at any time.
Well, I think there's a lot of great ideas here, but when you're planning a wedding, you know, you need someone you can turn to, some friends that could give you advice. And every episode, we like to let Miles, the youngest and least experienced of us, dole out advice to you, our listeners. So it is now time for advice that'll go for Miles with your host, Miles
Bonsignore.
What's up, Miles Nation? How we doing tonight?
Wonderful.
Do you want to be fast like Sonic the Hedgehog?
Meow. It's my favorite part of the Sonic trailer.
Do you want to be efficient like a CEO of a tech company, Jesse Eisenberg, Mark Wahlberg?
Only the Bergs.
Eat overnight oats.
What? Yep.
I have recently been making overnight oats over the past day.
And when do you make those?
I make them at night, and then in the morning, this morning was the first time I did it, and then I eat the overnight oats in the morning. It is nice because it's a fun snack. Oats take forever to cook. But if you make the overnight oats, you add chia seeds, it's like a little pudding for your body.
A little
and
pudding.
It's not bad for you.
Mushy?
No, well, the overnight oats, because you're cooking them over a long time, it still has texture to it. And the chia seeds make it sort of like pudding, oatmeal, all in one. You can add whatever you want to it, and it's ready to go in the morning. I don't want to be futzing around the kitchen, you know what I'm saying?
Overnight oats, very hip right now, very in. Miles, L.A. Dunn changed you, and I like it.
Oh, it's like cream of wheat?
It is sort of like cream of wheat, but way better. You put the chia seeds in, you put a little vanilla in, you put a little yogurt in, you put almond, coconut,
it's
or regular
milk. It's customizable to your pleasure.
And it takes longer to cook than normal oats?
Well, it goes overnight, so you don't cook it at all. You put it in a jar, you put it in the fridge, it's ready the next morning.
What is in it? You just put the oats in and then they just grow food?
Yeah, it grow food overnight.
Cold.
It grow food one night.
Uh-huh.
It grow food one night, you put milk, oat. Milk, oat, chia, almond milk, coconut milk, or regular milk.
No, I get that the chia's in there. You said it a couple times.
Are there chia seeds in this?
I'm gonna go ahead and say something. Yeah. I have a strong prejudice versus very particular foods because I feel like they're a waste of space.
Okay. Wow.
I think oatmeal
I hear you.
And overnight oats are just extensions of the porridge like way of thinking.
Give it to me
straight. There's a lot of like white cultures in particular that loved porridge. Okay. Remember when porridge was all the rage in
all
medieval
the bears
times?
Were eating it.
Yeah. Those silly
all
white
those,
people.
All those that bears. And the yogurt and the cottage cheese, all of those are just sad. It looks like you've
like
given up.
It's like cha-cha
like completely
slide of
given up. No, I'm serious. Every time I see someone eat cottage cheese, mm-hmm. I look at them straight in the eyes and I say, you should die.
No,
I wish I could still eat. I think it's actually quite
you should
tasty.
Die right. You oatmeal, just give up. You might as well give
okay,
up. It is the saddest breakfast.
I'm going to defend overnight oats even though I don't eat them.
Nah, that's just trying to be, it's oatmeal trying to be trendy.
Looping in well, all oatmeal.
Oatmeal is fantastic.
One.
I'm giving an unpopular opinion. I'm just saying.
Oh,
I'm just saying.
No. I don't like that though.
Before my feelings get too hurt, somebody asked for my advice in our 5-star reviews, which leads me to our next fun news.
Wait, aren't we done?
If okay. you want to email advice that will go for miles at gmail.com.
Wow. Yes, I'm in.
How do you spell that'll?
It's actually that will.
Advice that advice will go for miles
at gmail.com.
And I can answer your question. This woman, she said, so I like one of my friends. I was in movies with a bunch of people, and the guy I used to date pulled up aside, and I talked to him. I was very confused. Then I sat next to the
Wait,
guy.
Are you double advising this?
No, this is I'm answering her advice.
Okay. Yeah.
She what, said him.
She said, I need Miles's advice is All the right. name of her comment.
All right.
The guy I liked during the movie and the dude I used to like have yeah, not so advice. Subtle thumbs up. IDK, I need some advice. And my advice is take it slow, sister. You know, you don't need to be, you know, your prize. So these guys, you know, let them duke it out. And
you can get gems like that at advice that will go for miles at gmail.com.
Wait, so the guy she used to like and the guy she currently likes were having yeah. friction over her.
And the, well, the guy she used to like gave a thumbs up to her by being with the guy she now currently likes.
These visualizations for these stories, they're hard to find.
They are hard
okay, guys,
follow.
we got to wrap this up, unfortunately. But very exciting news: the Try Guys are going to Australia Woo! In September. So shout out to Australia! We're gonna be there for VidCon, but stay tuned because we may or may not, and we definitely will have some exciting additional announcements and things that we're doing. So stay tuned there.
Also, make sure you subscribe to the Tripod. Make sure you get your tour tickets starting June 21st at tryguys.com/tour. Tour starts then. You can get them now.
The tour's shaping up. It's so exciting.
We got a book. Yeah. There's a tour. There's the podcast that you already love.
Thanks for watching, listening. This has been the Tripod. Until next time, Keith, hit us with the official Tripod theme song.
Woo, woo, Tripod. Until next time, stay beautiful.